Yeah, having my head shoved into the steps of the Ulster Bank in Ranelagh, cold butt of a gun put into the back of your skull. That's a moment where you go, okay, yeah, I think this one's up.
How does a high-flying academic become one of Ireland's most prolific bank robbers?
What I would see as the most important part of this still lies open.
I'm Not Here to Hurt You, a brand new series from the award-winning team behind the Indo Daily.
That November day, that's where it all begins.
Out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave, 1919, 1920. There's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
Allianz. Supporting all 32 counties through the Allianz Leagues.
Hello and welcome to the Throw-In Independent.ie's GA podcast in association with Allianz. I'm Will Slattery, glad to be back for another season and joined as always by Michael Verney. Michael, hello.
How's it going, Will? I hope you're re-energised and ready to go.
I know, it feels like it's been so long. December, it seems a long time ago now. GA is back, the Allianz League is starting this weekend. We're starting with the hurling. Are you excited as a hurling man that you are?
No, geez, I am, yeah. It's almost like winning the lottery this weekend. And in our case, we actually did win the lottery because my father won the Bird GA Lotto on Monday night. He won $6,500. So it's been a good week in our household and it's only going to get better with all these matches on Saturday and Sunday.
I saw that when you tweeted out. I thought that was a tidy little sum, I thought, for a club lotto.
Yeah, it's a nice little sum. I think he's on his way or he's trying to do some buying online. I'd say it'll be 6 or 7 heifers or bullocks bought with that money. I don't think I'll be seeing too much of it anyway.
Well, great to see you go to a good cause anyway. So what have you been doing with yourself? What have you been keeping yourself ticking over with since December?
We've been tipping away with the club there by ourselves. So we're back next week at some stage. So looking forward to that. It's almost like, you know, there's been a famine and now everything is kind of coming at once. The intercounty is starting back and the club action is getting back, albeit not as we know it. But just keeping things kind of ticking over, doing plenty of racing. Was that Punch of Sound last week as well? So thankfully I've been able to go and attend a bit of live sport, but it'd be great to be back this weekend. It's an interesting league, as I'm sure we'll go into. You kind of have to hit the ground running straight away from the start. You can't afford to, you know, ship a few results because it's very hard with morale. You have to keep it going. So I think although teams haven't had the chance to play challenge games and they're only back since April 19th, they do really kind of have to hit the ground running straight away. It's going to be really interesting.
And it's funny, like there's so many games on TV. It's a bit like when the Premier League returned last summer after that big hiatus and there was this matches coming thick and fast. Like people were going to have to block off Saturday and all day Sunday basically to get it all in.
Yeah, I think you have to be clever with what you're watching as well, or you literally could be burnt out every Sunday evening.
So you probably have to be single and childless as well to fit it all in as well, I'd say.
That's true too. And if you're not single and childless, you probably will be single by the end of it all if you're not careful, I'd say.
Yeah. No, there's a lot to look forward to. And we're delighted to welcome Vincent Hogan and John Milan for our chat ahead of the Allianz League kickoff this weekend. Guys, how are things?
Morning, Will.
And just in case some listeners mightn't be 100% up to date on the format this year, Division 1 is split into groups A and B, 2 groups of 6. Teams will play 5 games each. And there won't be a league final this year. The 2 teams who finish top of their respective tables will be crowned co-champions unless they meet in the championship, which they'll turn into a de facto league final. The bottom 2 teams will play in a relegation playoff, which I think is the curtain raiser to the All Ireland Hurling Final, or at least it's slated to be at the moment, Vincent. So, with all those kind of permutations swirling around, you know, what are your thoughts going into the league? Are you expecting to glean anything, you know, particularly out of it going into the championship, or is it just a way for teams to build up that bit of stamina ahead of the bigger tests to come?
I think it's going to be a more interesting league than some people are making out, Will, because I don't think you can afford to just play these games as training matches almost and then bounce straight into championship. For example, if you look at Waterford and Clare playing in the Munster quarterfinal, they've got to come out of this league knowing very, very well what their first 15 is going to be. So I think there's some very interesting games, and we're starting straight away with the big one in Limerick on Saturday evening, where for Tipperary, this is a really, really interesting fixture, because over the last couple of years, there's no doubt about it that Limerick have had their number and have had their number quite comfortably. And I think that's a big thing for Liam Sheedy going into this, that he knows what people are saying about 2019, that Tip won the All-Ireland in his second coming, but they didn't have to play Limerick in the final because Kilkenny took them out in the semi-final. In that Munster final, Limerick beat Tip by 12 points. Down in Cork in the Storm last year in the Championship, Limerick beat Tip comfortably. I think it was 9 points, but they were never in trouble. So for Liam Sheedy, I think Saturday night it's a big enough game, because he's got to convince his own players that they can match Limerick. And he's also got to find the balance between this core of outstanding players, some of whom have been there since 2010, and the sense that that Tipperary need energy and pace. So does he have players who can step up to that? I think for a team like Tipperary particularly, this is an important league.
Well, fair play, Vincent. I'm already much more excited for the National Hurling League than I think I was about 2 or 3 minutes ago. John, like Vincent listed off a couple of teams there. Is there anyone you're particularly intrigued to see how they come out of the blocks? Your own County Waterford got to an All-Ireland final. Maybe people weren't expecting them to. You know, are they one of the teams you're intrigued to see how they maybe kick on or back things up?
I'm keeping a close eye on the teams that probably underperformed in the Championship last year. I'm talking the likes of the Corks, the Wexfords, the Dublins. I think Vincent's 100% right. I think, you know, they'll really focus on having a good league. And particularly Cork, I'm really keen on seeing where Cork are going to go throughout the course of this league and the Championship. I think for Cork, I think they need to have a good league campaign. I think they have to approach this league starting Sunday against my own Waterford. I think they need to build up a level of consistency where they're consistent in performance. And I think if they're consistent in performance, I think the results will come. So I think for the likes of Cork, the 5 games, I think Kieran Kingston will be targeting probably winning 3 to 4 of those matches and then bringing it into the Championship. So, yeah, I think those will be the 3 teams I will be keeping a keen eye on. I think I will be thinking 3 of those counties will bounce back. I think it's been well documented now. You know, you're even hearing some of the interviews, even down here in Wexford, that, you know, things went wrong for them in regards how they went about their business. They probably peaked a bit too soon for the Championship, and I'm fully expecting Wexford to bounce back. And I'm expecting a big, big challenge out of Cork this year. And I think, to be fair, Matty Kenny, you don't know what you're going to get with Dublin. You're always asking the question, you know, when are they going to deliver? I thought last year was the time. I thought it was set up for him to go and deliver against Cork. And I think it's year 3 for Matty Kenny. And I would be expecting that year 3, he might get a kick out of the Dublin team. So I'm keeping a close eye on those 3 counties.
Yeah, and it's interesting on Cork, you know, their poor league record is often put down to how they don't hurl well in winter conditions. The league's in the summer this year, so who knows if that means that they can maybe put in a better campaign than they have in previous years. Michael, it's funny, we haven't even talked about Limerick yet. We haven't even mentioned them, the team that are looming so large. I think every interview I've seen has either been about them or referring to them. You know, are they the Dublin footballers now of the Hurling Championship? Are they that big a prospect for teams to take on? Are they that intimidating now, do you think, for the teams?
Yeah, they're a pretty big taunting prospect, all right. I think probably one of the reasons that we're not talking about them too much is we know what we're going to get from Limerick. You're generally going to get a very, very consistent level. They're going to play it to a high level and they're going to be very hard beaten. The thing that Vincent says there about Tipperary, Cork, the likes of Dublin as well, we're not really sure what we're going to get out of them. And I think that's probably the exciting thing about the league and coming into this year's Championship as well. There's a lot of unknowns hanging over a lot of counties. Even Kilkenny this year, Colin Fenley not on board. TJ Reid is 34 in November, I think. A lot of their elder statesmen are knocking on. You'd wonder whether the guys coming through are of the, you know, the similar level to the guys that they're going to be replacing. So there's a lot of question marks there. The reason probably we're not talking about Limerick is you know exactly what you're going to get from them. And I think what Vincent said there about Tip in particular is really interesting. So you can't go in and have a poor league run. You can't, you know, risk, you know, a lot of guys and trying to blend in guys. You have to marry that kind of happy balance of trying to find your team, not flogging particularly older players, but also getting good results to keep the confidence high. Look at, say, the Galway footballers last year, absolutely annihilated by Mayo in that first round of the league when they came back. We're struggling to get the momentum back going into championship. You have to, you almost have to find your team, you have to find new players, avoid injuries and get results at the same time. And I think the reason probably we're not talking about Limerick is because they probably, we know the strength of panel that they have. We know that they're going to be able to mix and match. There'll probably be 11 to 12 of their All-Ireland final team playing in nearly every game. They're just looking to find one or two more players. And as I said, yeah, we know what we're going to get from them. The exciting thing is that we don't know what we're going to get from the rest. And you're expecting a big bounce from, particularly, I'd say, Tip Wexford. We're not, probably not talking about Galway too much. We generally have a fair idea what we're going to get from them as well. It's the other ones. It's almost like, you know, in horse racing terms, it's the two-year-old that has only had one or two runs, or he's coming in having his first run as a three-year-old. You're expecting massive improvement. You're expecting massive bounce. And I think we're expecting a lot from those counties, a lot of improvements from last year. And I think that's the real exciting thing about it.
Yeah, Vince, I'd be interested in your opinion on Kilkenny. Excuse me. You know, there's kind of two kind of competing narratives. On one hand, there was a lot of discontent. Discontent might be strong, but a lot of murmurings about Brian Cody's future. Owen Larkin, one of his stalwarts himself, I think, came out and said, is it time for a change? But then on the other hand, 2019, they get to a final against the Head. 2020, they win the Leinster Championship, beat a very good Galway team who ran Limerick very close. I know they didn't probably kick on in the semi-final when they had a good lead, but on paper, they're good. They're pretty two good championship seasons. And yet there does seem to be a clamour for change.
Yeah, looking at it from the outside, well, it is a bit bizarre. And I think, Michael, myself, you probably were down in Hotel Kilkenny 2019, the week of their All-Ireland quarterfinal against Cork. And one of the questions asked from the floor was, is it time for Brian Cody to go? And, you know, I kind of found it a really bizarre question. As you said, they got to that All-Ireland final. They're the reigning Leinster champions. But I think part of the problem here is that most on Kilkenny, like last year, they lost two big leads. Like Dublin almost caught them, having been miles behind in Leinster. And then, of course, they blew up against Waterford in the second half of the All-Ireland semi-final, or quarter-final, rather. So the question marks are there largely because of that un-Kilkenny-like habit they've formed of losing big leads. But also, I think, because there is a feeling within Kilkenny that there are ready-made replacements, maybe. We've seen, you know, Henry Shefflin win back-to-back All-Irelands with Ballyhale. We've seen Eddie Brennan do great work with Laois, getting them to an All-Ireland quarter-final. And I think that's part of the problem, too. There is this intellectual wing of hurling punditry that suggests it's gone very scientific and it's gone a lot different from what it was in the noughties and the late 90s. I'm not so sure about that. I do think that there is a feeling with Kilkenny, I think it was Michael alluded to it there, that they've leaned very heavily on a 34-year-old now, TJ Reid. They can't keep doing that. Are the forwards coming through? I'm not sure. They've paid a price, definitely, for Richie Hogan's injuries. And we saw little pieces of magic from Richie last year, particularly the goal against Galway in the Leinster final. Like, had they had a fit Richie Hogan to take some of the burden, I suppose, off TJ Reid, it might have been a different story. But you're dead right. I mean, they were in an All-Ireland final in 2019. They are the reigning Leinster champions. So he hasn't been doing a whole lot wrong at the same time.
Yeah, John, what's your view on that? I know you've been pretty supportive of Brian Cody over the last couple of years. You know, are you surprised that some of his kind of former lieutenants have come out and voiced an opinion that maybe it's time for a change, or do you think they're right?
Well, Vincent used the word bizarre. I would use the word bonkers. I think it's bonkers that they're even considering, you know, getting rid of their greatest ever manager, probably the greatest ever manager that, you know, ever, you know, we ever came across in the GA world. And I would echo what Vincent said. They're just not there with it. He doesn't have the personnel that he had before. What he's after doing in his last few campaigns, if they're winning a National League, getting them to an All-Ireland final. If Richie Hogan wasn't sent off, they could have won that final. They won the Leinster final last year, which was an incredible achievement. You know, they flattened Saturday this evening against Waterford in the second half, likewise against Dublin. But look, let's not forget, you know, the environment we were playing under last year. You know, you weren't going into any dressing room at half time. You know, Kilkenny players were coming up to the back of the Cusick stand, weren't going into a warm dressing room. So you gotta take all that into account. But I just think it's absolutely bonkers that people are even suggesting that they should get rid of Kilkenny, get rid of Brian Cody and get someone else in. He's done an incredible job over the last couple of years.
I would just say on that, Will, as well, the big question is, like, are Kilkenny underachieving with the talent that they have? No, they're definitely not. If anything, to me, they are overachieving. And I would stand up Kilkenny win the league in 2018, beating Limerick in 2019, and even winning the Leinster last year as three of the biggest achievements in Brian Cody's career. But yet, there seems to be a clamour. And like I said, it wouldn't be a stretch to say in Kilkenny it's kind of 50-50 about whether he should be there this year or not, generally talking to people on the ground.
Maybe expectation levels need to be lowered in Kilkenny, because they're coming off probably an unbelievable era under Cody. And look, maybe the expectation is there that, you know, they should be winning All Ireland every 2 or 3 years. I mean, that's just crazy. I mean, you look at it, they haven't. When was the last time they won an under 21? 2008. When was the last time they won a minor title? So, you know, you can only play with the hands, with the cards that you're dealt with, and the cards that you have at the moment. And look, he's going to be down Colin Fenley as it is. Walter Welch ain't getting any younger. Richie Hogan ain't going to get any younger. And I think this year, I think there's one thing about Cody. He always learns from his defeat. And I think he will learn from the Waterford defeat last year. And, you know, he will be saying to the lads that were playing that day, probably left him down the second half, saying, look, there's no one going to be guaranteed a place. There's a couple more young players. He'll bring in a couple more young players. And I say you'll see a sprinkle of lads throughout the course of this league. And look, I still think there'll be a match for anyone. And Bernie's 100% right. Let's be honest with you, lads. Kilkenny didn't beat Limerick two years ago. We will now be talking up Limerick going for four in a row. So, you know, down in Kilkenny, they want to be careful what they wish for.
Yeah, no, it's definitely set up to be an interesting campaign from their perspective. Vince, another team that's intriguing is Galway. There's a good piece in today's Irish Independent, Donegal Boyle, talking to their former manager, John McIntyre, just about where they're at, because you can kind of almost forget, because Limerick are getting so much praise, that they were level with Galway and Limerick were level going into injury time in that All-Ireland semi-final. You know, in 2017, when they won that All-Ireland, people thought they would kick on, potentially add one or two more. They haven't been able to do that. But do you think, are they the next best place team to challenge Limerick? What are your thoughts on them?
It's hard to say, Will. That was a very strange semi-final, I think, that game against Limerick. It was level going into injury time. They had lost Cathal Mannion to injury. They had lost Joe Canning to injury. We had the extraordinary situation of Joe Canning hitting four line balls over the bar. We'll never see that again, I think, in our lifetime. I never felt Galway were going to win that game. And yet they were right there, right to the end. I think Limerick got the last 3 points in injury time to pull away. But physically, Galway are the one team that can go toe-to-toe with Limerick. They have the ability to take points from distance. But I do think there's a sense in Galway that Joe Canning, Johnny Cohen, these guys, they're not getting any younger. And for Shane O'Neill, this is a big year. They've got to kick on. If they're going to be All-Ireland contenders this year, they need these guys to play, to put in big performances. And I think that's the anxiety in Galway, if you like, that the point is going to come where these guys step away. Now, are there replacements there? Where we saw, was it Evan Nyland come on in that semi-final, and he was outstanding in the just brief little cameo, got a magnificent point, scored a really difficult free. There was a rumour he's not around this year. I'm not sure about that. But Galway have to kick on, and they've got to kick on quickly. And what's interesting about this league is 1A is a much more difficult league grouping than 1B. You've got Limerick, you've got Tip, you've got Galway, you've got Cork, you've got Waterford. The general expectation is that Westmeath will be the fall guys there, and that they'll go into probably a relegation playoff against Laois or Antrim. I think Galway, they're definitely one of the teams that can put it up physically to Limerick. I'm not sure they were as close to Limerick, though, in that semi-final as the scoreline suggested. I always felt there was possibly another gear in Limerick to kick on if they were in trouble.
Mm. And just interesting what you mentioned there, John McIntyre mentioned in that piece as well, that some of the key guys in that Galway team, I think David Burke was another one, and Joe Canning, they were all around in his last year, which was 2011, 10 years ago. And on the injury piece, Galway got very lucky in that Joe Canning got injured in the semi-final last year, the semi-final in 2016 against Tip. He got a bad hamstring injury when the game was in the melting pot, and he missed pretty much all of 2018 with an injury too. They're one of the best hurlers ever. They got it. They have been unlucky.
Absolutely. And but Galway are in a very similar situation to Tip, I would say, in that they have this old guard, outstanding players, marquee players who, you know, it's not easy to replace these guys. So you have Joe Canning, David Burke, you have the McGrath brothers in Tipperary, outstanding players. But the McGrath brothers, for example, dual players for their club, looked absolutely exhausted come championship last year. Liam Sheedy probably looking at, if I can get those two guys fresh into this championship, and the calendar, the way it's designed this year, definitely gives them a chance of that. So it's striking that balance, both for Shane O'Neill and for Liam Sheedy, between these magnificent hurlers who have a lot of miles on the clock and bringing in energy to the team. And that's the challenge for both of them.
Yeah, and for Liam Sheedy, some of those Tip under 21 and under 20 players, I think people would like from Tipperary to see maybe more of an integration. And John, what about Waterford then? Liam Cahill, what a first year he had, getting them that All-Ireland final. Like, would you be hopeful that a repeat could be on the cards, if they could maintain that level, or will it be difficult?
I think, look, you relate back to, you know, when they got the All-Ireland final in 2017, and in the following year, it's always very difficult, particularly out from a county outside the traditional counties of Cork, the Kilkennys, and the Tipperary's, to follow it up and get back to an All-Ireland final. You go back to 2018, you know, I remember Derek McGrath stating that, you know, it was nearly, you're back down the end of the mountain, and, you know, you're trying to climb the mountain again with all the other sides. And that's where Waterford are going into this league and going into this championship. You know, they probably came under, you know, it's probably last year's championship. It was, the expectation levels weren't there, so it probably suited Liam Cahill. And I suppose, look, probably Wexford find themselves in where Waterford were last year, and now Waterford probably find themselves where Wexford were last year, you know, where everyone is building them up, everyone is talking them up that, you know, they could go on and push on, and they're probably in the same bracket as maybe a Galway, Tipperary, probably a Kilkenny, where they can probably, in those group of teams, where they're probably a couple of points off Limerick, where they can push on and challenge. I suppose that's going to be the challenge for Liam Cahill, you know, to get to rally the troops again, and are they going to be hungry enough to get back into those levels again and try and get back to another final? It's going to be very difficult. You know, you're going to be down the likes of Pádraig Mann, he's still out. The Burke is going to be a massive loss. Dara Fives is looking like it's not going to come back. And Doc O'Keefe is after taking the year out. There's four massive players. But look, I think the one thing with Liam Cahill last year, he didn't give out about any of the players he was missing last year. His main focus on the panel. And, you know, word coming out of the camp is that training is going very well after putting in some serious training over the last couple of weeks. And look, the game against Cork the weekend will be very interesting. Just on that group, the group that we have in 1A, you have Galway, you have Limerick, you have Tip, you have Cork and Waterford. You know, you go back to when Limerick won the All-Ireland in 2018. They went up to Salt Hill, Galway were all-Ireland champions, and they beat Galway up in Salt Hill. They laid down a marker. Last year, Tip were All-Ireland champions. What did Limerick do? They were 10 points down at half-time. They came back. They beat Tipperary, who were then All-Ireland champions. They laid down America. And I think out of one of those teams, maybe Waterford, Cork, Tipperary, Galway, they're all going to get a shot at Limerick in the league. And I think out of one of the four of them, I think one of the four of them are going to try and lay down America and say, you know what? They're not going to have the easy route of just, you know, thinking that you're just going to have it easy and challenge, but we're just going to roll over and you're just going to pick up Dean McCarty. I think one of those four teams, you know, if they could beat Limerick in the league, it would really set it up nicely going into the championship.
Yeah, Michael, and one thing that will be interesting to see as we look ahead to the Alliance Hurling League is the rules about cynical play and the, you know, the tackle cynical fouling. It's proved a hot topic already. John Kiely, I think a couple of nights ago, talking about how he's not in favour of it, saying that it's a lot of work for the referees, and that was his chief concern, or at least he put forward that. What's your view on it? It's going to be a massive game changer if a couple of these happen per game. Just so if people aren't aware, if your foul is cynically inside the 21-meter line or inside the D, it's a yellow card, a 10-minute sin-bin period, and a penalty. What's your view on it?
Yeah, I believe the rule has been tinkered with a small bit. Apparently, it's only the player in possession has to have a goal-scoring chance. It's not an overlap or anything like that. It's the player that's being fouled has to have a clear goal-scoring chance. It's not, we'd say, you know, a player that could be played through on goal, through a pass or anything. It has to be the player with the ball. There's a lot of... It's quite complex. It's open to different interpretation from different people. There's going to be a lot of mistakes made, because was it inside the D? Was it inside the 21? Was it a deliberate trip with the hurl? Was it a deliberate trip with the arm or with the body? There's a lot going to come into it. There's a lot going to be open to interpretation. Liam Sheedy was on Tip FM kind of saying that the onus is just now on the skill of defending and making sure that the defending is very smart. And it is going to have to be very, very smart, because if you're conceding a penalty and you're down a player for 10 minutes, that's a game changer. It's probably 3 points on the scoreboard. And given how easily points can be scored from out the field, it could be 5 or 6 points within that 10 minutes as well. If, you know, the team that are down to 14 men try and drag 7 defenders back, like how much could Limerick hurt you from out the field? They could absolutely destroy you from out the field. They don't necessarily have to get in around the goal. So it is going to be a game changer, and there's going to be mistakes along the way. I personally didn't think, and I've no problem saying, I didn't think there was a big problem with cynicism in hurling. I think you can always pull out different instances. You can pull that out in different sport. Was it that bad that we needed to, you know, push the nuclear button and go something as drastic as this? I don't think so. I still think a penalty would have been enough of a punishment. But it's going to be really, really interesting. It's going to be a big talking point. I just hope we don't end up in a situation like it is with VAR in football at the moment, where all we're talking about is, you know, a referee's decision. Was it inside? Was it outside? Was it deliberate? Was it not deliberate? So there's going to be a lot of controversy. That's just the nature of it. It's going to take a lot of getting used to for teams and referees. You'd hope by the time it gets to championship time that it will be fairly well worn down, and everyone will know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, Vincent, it's interesting to hear Michael, you know, as someone who's played a lot of hurling at a high level, kind of talk about, ask whether it was needed, because I've seen a lot of people involved in hurling ask that, whether a couple of incidents have been blown out of proportion. But conversely, people like maybe from a football background looking in saying, well, it's not just a football problem. Like, you know, we watch a lot of hurling too, and there is a lot of cynical fouling that kind of you can get away with in hurling. Like, which way do you look at it?
I think they had to do something, Will. We've seen hurling people very reluctant to even consider a black card in hurling, as if it's a kind of a higher caste of a game than Gaelic football.
I think it is, Vincent. You know it is.
Well, I know that, Mike. I do think there is an issue with the lack of goals, or the lack of an interest in scoring goals at the highest level. And I certainly think hurling without goals is lacking something fundamental. The issue with this, I think, is that there are so many different layers to the new rule. I think Saoirse Bulfin of Wexford, Davy Fitz's assistant, he's touched on this as well as John Kiley. It's a very difficult challenge for the referees to get this right, because it's a double punishment, if you like. It's a penalty and it's a sin bin, and you have to interpret, is it inside the 20-meter line? You know, is it a clear goal scoring chance? It's certainly putting a lot of pressure on referees, and particularly for referees. I think Fergal Horgan has touched on this. They're kind of going into this cold. And so it's an additional burden for referees coming from a situation where up to now they haven't even had challenge matches to bring this in. It's a difficult one. I can see why people are apprehensive, because it's a double punishment and it's a difficult one to interpret. But I think something had to be done. I think hurling needs more goal scorers, more goals scored, and more teams going for goals.
Well, can I just ask John, like, I'm wondering, John, if you were still playing now at county level, I know you were always a good man to buy a free back in your day anyway, but would you be like thinking about how you could potentially, in inverted commas, buy a penalty, or, you know, be very, very cute? Like if you can concoct a scenario where you're able to win a penalty for a cynical foul, maybe draw a cynical foul on, or kind of work that type of situation. It's a game-changing situation. Like, is that something you'd be thinking about if you're still playing?
Absolutely, absolutely. And just what I used to always do is always talk to the referee, try and get into the referee's ear, you know, tell the referee that, look, he's constantly pulling me, he's constantly dragging me. And I think you're going to see an awful lot of that. I think there's one grey area with the new rules. I think, am I right in saying this, that you can tug the jersey, you can pull back the jersey, and it's not a black card, it's a yellow card. So Liam Sheedy has used the words, you know, you got to defend smarter. So, like, we all know there's defensive coaches, there's forward coaches. So you can bet your bottom dollar that over the course of the next couple of weeks that, you know, the defensive coaches, you know, they're going to be schooling the lads that if he breaks the line, you're allowed to pull the jersey back. You don't have to pull him down. You can pull the jersey back. So what's to say, Bernie, if I broke past you, you're not going to pull me down. You're not going to wrestle me down. It's quite easy to just pull the jersey. I'm even seeing in the Camogie at home with my own club, De La Salle, Beck Carrot, an extraordinary player. And the girls she's caught up against, they're schooled. She breaks the line and they tug back the jersey. And she doesn't need, it isn't being the yellow card. So I think that's the one grey area, you know, with the new rules, that you're able to tug back the jersey. Tug back the jersey isn't being the black card, being the yellow card, and you still stay on the field. So I think the referees have got to be very mindful of that going forward.
If I could have got close enough to him all, I would have pulled the jersey, but unfortunately I didn't.
Yeah, and there was always the issue with the black card as well in terms of deliberate versus, you know, accidental. Even in the All-Ireland final last year when Aidan O'Shea claimed that ball, turned Johnny Cooper, was pulled to the ground, but referee David Goldrick, you know, controversially just deemed it an accident or a collision or, you know, not a deliberate one. So I'm sure there'll be lots of kind of instances like that where referees might be caught between two stools as to whether it was a deliberate act of foul play or an accidental collision. I suppose just to bring our Allianz Hurling League preview to an end, Vince, so of the two groups, who are you looking at to come out on top in them?
Well, look, you can't look beyond Limerick. I mean, their track record over the last few years, you know, I think John is spot on there. You know, had they beaten Kilkenny, this is a team that would probably be going for four in a row now, because they would have met Tipperary in that final, and they've shown certainly in recent years that they have Tipperary's number. So they're in the toughest group. They've brought in a few young guys into the squad, but I think what we've seen with Limerick is, you know, they've brought in the likes of Peter Casey, who, you know, as a sub last year, who kind of would have started in any other team. Seamus Flanagan, they have so much strength and depth, and they have so many different ways of winning games. You'd have to think that they're probably going to top that group. It's not beyond the bounds, incidentally, that it could be a repeat of last year's league final if Clare get to a Munster final, that it could be Limerick and Clare again in a league final doubling up. But that Clare-Kilkenny, Dublin, Wexford one, it's hard to call that one. An interesting game straight away, Wexford against Laois. They play in a Leinster quarterfinal later in the year. They'll both be going for it down there. But the big one is probably the following weekend in Ennis, where Davy Fitz goes in with Wexford into Clare. We all know what happened when they played in the championship last year, and Davy being abused by one of the backroom team from behind the dugout. Wexford completely underperforming in the championship last year. See Dee O'Keefe coming out, you know, in the last couple of days, talking about how they got it wrong. And I think this is an issue for certain counties, and Wexford being one of them, where you have genuine dual players. And a lot of those Wexford players ended up with a serious club campaign, both football and hurling, before they went into the Leinster Hurling Championship last year. And they were as flat as pancakes. So I would expect a bounce from Wexford, but definitely their second game going into Ennis against his old friend Brian Lohan in Clare. And Clare, a Clare team, remember, who have John Conlon back, who have Colm Galvin back, no Peter Duggan, but they'll be keen to push on now as well. So I think probably maybe Clare or Wexford to come out that side. I think Limerick have to be favourites at top 1A.
A few nice subplots there. Michael, what are your predictions?
Yeah, probably be looking at Limerick in 1A again, because you know probably exactly what you're going to get out of them. I think 1B is interesting. Teams in 1A are going to have to be, with due respect to Westmeath, they're going to have to be on point for every game. they're going to probably, they should all beat Westmeath, but they're going to have to be on point. You cannot afford to go down to Limerick and ship a 10 or 15 point defeat or something like that. It's just a disaster for your season straight away. Whereas in 1B, I'd say you could throw a blanket over. Like when Vincent was saying there, you could conceivably see Wexford, Kilkenny, or Clare topping 1B with Dublin not too far behind. Those teams are quite are closer together. So if anything, if you're experimenting, it might be easier to do that in the second group because you probably know you're less likely to take a pace and are less likely to take a confidence kind of sapping defeat. I think Kilkenny will, Kilkenny and Wexford will try and, particularly Wexford, will try and get up to a high level very early and sustain it. When Wexford have gone well in 17 and 19, they were playing well in the league and they're able to sustain it and maybe a little bit of a rise for the championship. So I think probably, I'd probably go maybe Wexford in Group B and I'd have to, you'd have to fancy Limerick in Group A.
And John, give you the last word.
Yeah, look, I echo Limerick. I think John, I think Limerick are where the Dubs are under Jim Gavin. I think they are where Kilkenny were under Cody. They were unbeaten last year. I think Kylie will be stressing to his players that, look, we're going to keep that unbeaten run going. We're not going to give any of our opponents any hope going forward into the championship. I'm excited that, you know, I think he's going down the same route as Brian Cody. He's introduced, freshening up. He's bringing in three or four new players. And a player to look out for is Cottle O'Neill, very exciting player, who I'm sure will get an awful lot of league time. But I do. I think Limerick will win 1A. I don't think they'll lose too many matches. I think they'll want to keep that winning streak going. As for 1B, I'd echo what Vincent says. I think Clare, you know, all this talk coming out of Clare is that, you know, and I think with Darren Gleeson this week, I think he's been very wise. He's been very shrewd. He's come out straight away and saying that, you know, we can't underestimate Clare despite all the noises coming within the county. If John Conlon back, they've a young Shane Mean is a good player. Rogers is another good up and coming talent. As Colin Gallagher is another player. There's four players that they didn't have last year. And look, they have Tony Kelly in the peak of his powers. I think it'll come between Clare, Wexford, but I've a funny feeling that the Dubs might do something in the league, and I think that's an interesting fixture the weekend. If the Dubs could beat Kilkenny the weekend up in Parnell Park, they have Clare at home in Parnell Park. If they could win four out of their five games, so I think there might be a bit of value in someone like Dublin getting to the final. So I would maybe go Dublin and Limerick.
Interesting. The season starts now, and isn't it great to have it back? Vincent, John, Michael, thanks so much for joining me. That's all we have time for on the throne this week in association with Allianz. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a review of all the Allianz Hurling League action, as well as looking ahead to the Allianz Football League, which is kicking off as well. In the meantime, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or listen on independent.ie. So until next week, thanks for listening and goodbye.
Allianz. Supporting all 32 counties through the Allianz Leagues.